Second Peter, chapter 2. See if we can get beyond one verse today. Come up and get Betty's seat. Our Carolyn. Where's Carolyn?
No, I don't know.
Have you seen her today?
When I got up, she was in bed, and when I got out of the shower, she was gone. So I don't know where she's. Really, I think she went down the office for something, and I think she was
going to
make some phone calls. So,
you can be the Gary Shield.
You can be Betty. Yeah.
Yesterday we talked about. We said that we on the first verse. But there were false prophets also among the people, even there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Remember we talked about the word deny, it's eromia. I can't even pronounce it. Eromionai, and it means to stop the flow of water. It's to dam something. We don't deny Jesus. We don't deny the Lord that bought us by saying he doesn't exist. We deny the Lord that bought us by saying I exist. You understand that?
I didn't hear the last thing you said.
We deny him, the Lord that bought us, not by saying he doesn't exist. We deny him by saying we exist, because we deny the cross. We deny our death. Bonhoeffer said something interesting. He said where the scripture that says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. What that really means, it says, is come follow me and die. Yeah. That's the only way that the Christian life can be lived. You must accept your death. To come to Christ costs you your life, period. No exceptions, no nothing, no wavering, no... And that's the singular reason why people don't hear, because they refuse to accept their own death. They're trying to fix themselves. They're trying to get better. They're trying to do something instead of dying. So everybody got that in there straight.
This reminds me that everything else is bullshit. I was thinking that.
That's bullshit. Christopher Paul said that I have many things to tell you, but you're not able to hear. Yeah, it's like these are some of those things that sometimes you just can't hear this stuff. It's said, but like Harry often says.
What does Harry often say?
I've been listening 15 years and now I heard what you said.
Well, did you hear this morning? Yeah.
Are we talking about Harry?
You tried. Nice try.
I'm also hearing Joyce Hannon's words. You just don't believe.
Yeah. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, shall be evil spoken of. A research program or a study by Barna concluded, they asked the general public for their, whether they highly approve, whether they are neutral, whether they disapprove, whether they have no opinion, about a whole series of categories of people. Military officers, believe it or not, were number one. In terms of the highest esteem. The lowest esteem was prostitutes. The second lowest esteem was evangelical Christians. The way of truth is evil spoken of today like no other time in history because of the pernicious ways of those that are preaching it.
Sorry, just for my small intellect, what's pernicious mean?
Joysana? It means evil. Evil. Well, I mean, the word pernicious literally means evil. Many shall follow their pernicious ways.
What verse are you on?
Well, I'll tell you what. Where were we? Where are you in the Bible right now? Okay. Okay, then where is it? Then just read a couple of the verses.
Where we were yesterday.
Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness. The preaching of covetousness, the preaching that gain is godliness, which is the most, from God's perspective, it's the most evil thing there is. It's the doctrine, it's the only two things Christ ever said he hated. One of them was the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which it means, Nico is the Greek word for success, that those that preach success in the name of God. Success about anything. Because success about anything gives life to the Antichrist. And through covetousness, they shall with feigned words. They don't live what they say. They don't really believe what they say. But because they say it, when they say it, they get followers. You got it? With feigned words, make merchandise of you. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. One of the saddest things that in all of the investigations that we've done, whether it be Benny Hinn, whether it be Robert Tilton, whether it be W.V. Grant or Larry Lee, or the Crouches or anyone else, is all of them have a common denominator, and they don't want people to touch them. Tilton wouldn't allow any of his staff members to touch him because the reason was, allegedly, was so that he would, because if people touched him, he would lose his anointing. If you've watched Benny Hinn very much, he's always, when people, every once in a while, he gives somebody a hug or less, but most of the time, people try to come up and give him a hug, don't touch me. And when you hear their, from our informants, when you hear their private conversations about the people that are following them, they're just cattle. They have no regard for the people other than the checks they send. Tilton's famous line, which he admitted in a deposition, was, "If somebody is a fool enough to send me money, they deserve to be taken." Think of that. With feigned words, they shall make merchandise of you. Now, it's not just in televangelists. The hierarchy of some of the large churches makes the televangelists look like saints. It was just an interview in one of the large seeker churches. It was interviewed by a secular reporter, and the reporter asked him why there wasn't a cross in the church. And the preacher, they have 50,000 some members. The preacher said, "Well, too many people think the cross is offensive."
Yesterday, Diane Rehm, she's a talk show host on NPR, had a guy on who has written a book about the hymn Amazing Grace. And one of the things that they discussed was that the thing in that song that offends people is the word wretch. Saved a wretch like me. And he said that many, many churches and denominations are in the process of changing the word wretch to soul.
Yeah, I know.
Rich is all changing the words.
and through covetousness shall they with feigned or false words make, or hypocritical words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now, what are they talking about here? They're talking about people who live and preach a method by which they deny the Lord that bought them. You've been bought with a price. You are not your own. There's no part of you that is your own. As long as you try to fix yourself, as long as you try to get better, as long as you try to improve, then you have not lost your life. You're seeking to save your life. And from God's perspective, you therefore will eternally lose your life because you're seeking to save it. It's very evident when you find people that are seeking to save their life. Their judgments about other people are never ending because they've got to find somebody that they're better than. They spend all their waking hours in their temple figuring out ways to help themselves and improve themselves and make themselves understand spiritual matters better and really sincere. But they are with thought, with word, and with deed denying the Lord that bought them. Jesus said, many shall come in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, we did all these goodies in your name. And he shall say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. Remember, iniquity, is that's a quote from the Psalms that we studied yesterday. Iniquity means self-exertion, self-realization, which is the essence of sin. And if you're trying to use the mystery of God for your own self-realization, you might as well hit the road right now. If you're trying to feel better, get anything from this mystery of God, you might as well just walk on out. Because your life, I'm going to make your life totally miserable. Everybody understand me? Anybody have any response? For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now, remember, ungodly has to do not with what your actions, ungodly always has to do with your thought process. How do you think? If you haven't brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, if you have anything that can stand, if your thought process extends to anything that says it isn't finished, then you're ungodly from God's standpoint. Is that clear? And to those that after should live ungodly, and delivered the righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or manner of life of the wicked. He's not talking about homosexuality. He's the filthy conversation, the manner of life. Remember, we studied that extensively. Was they refused to give any place for the poor. Now, we've taught about what they did. If you were tall, they made your bed short, and then they cut your legs off. If you were short, they made the bed longer and they stretched you. Remember that? That's what we spiritually do. That's, you make people conform to whatever image you have of the way you think things should be. You take your all of your worship of Molech, which is by just the way you think things should be, what you like and what you don't like, and you try to conform everyone else to that Molech image. And that's what you do. If the person is too tall, you cut their legs off. It's like, you know, the shelters where you got to conform to all these rules. You have to get up and out of here by 7 a.m. or whatever. That's why I never went to one when I was homeless. I'd have been, they'd have put me in jail.
Get up there.
What?
You would get up there.
For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of the temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh. To walk after the flesh simply means that you make judgments according to the sensory perception. You live your life as a brute beast, making your judgments based on what things appear to be and what things sound like and what things look like, instead of the judgment of it's finished. I am perfect by one offering. All things are mine. They walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness. Now, what is the lust of uncleanness? Lust is simply desire, wanting more, wanting something else, wanting something to be different. But what is why the lust of uncleanness? We haven't seen that before. What is that about?
Well, you touch the dead body. You think that
uncleanness applies specifically. Remember, there's a blood is for the sin and trespass. Water, the water's purification for the uncleanness, and the uncleanness is. As Harry said, the main thing of uncleanness is once you've touched a dead body, naming you've given breath to yourself, then you're spiritually unclean. It's just, you know, if you can't believe me. Unclean doesn't mean has nothing to do with sinning or something. My God, you got to consider that Christ, once he was with Lazarus in the cave, or next to Lazarus, calling him forth, he was Levitically unclean. He had to go and be purified in the temple. But the lust of satisfying self with the wine of Ephraim, with the wine of self-seeking, produces what's called the lust of uncleanness. It doesn't matter if you're self-seeking to try to find God. It doesn't matter if you're self-seeking trying to understand the Scriptures. You got it?
You know, something just occurred to me about this thing about uncleanness, that one of the things about it is that you can't make yourself clean. Even the Son of God had to be a part of something. He needed other people.
Amen.
He couldn't do it alone.
He needed the burned ashes of the red heifer.
And somebody to administer.
And he needed which is red heifers, symbolic of the body. And it's the common willingness to accept the baptism of fire, that you would be burned. Our God is a consuming fire. In one of the interviews, it talked about, you know, you look out at these stars. And you know, through a telescope or with your naked eye, and they look like these nice little flickering lights, and are nice. But if you got near one of them, it would consume you. And near meaning within a million of miles or so. But our God is a consuming fire. We've made God into something, some little sweet. And as ministers, it's supposed to be flaming fire. Chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. And they're specifically talking about the agape feast, or the love feast, or the Seder meal. Having eyes full of adultery, cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. That sound familiar? A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with the man's voice, forbidding the madness of the prophet. That reminds me when Tilton named his Christmas donkey that he rode in on Oli.
Oli rhymes with freehold. Doesn't know.
My response was, well, even the Balaam's ass prophesied to him, so maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I can't believe your mother read that about, you know, when Tilton accused me of being an adulterer or a fornicator, or hang out in bars, and mealy-mouthed. And my mother, if you remember, read it in the Phoenix paper. She said, "What's this mealy-mouth stuff?" And while the same thing happened, her mother said the same thing. Mealy-mouthed? What do you think it means?
It's like, you might be all those other things, but mealy-mouthed, you're not.
Mealy-mouthed means you're just sort of, you try not to offend anybody. You sit around and you just say nice things and be sweet.
We have a mealy pie dough,
too. All right. We're getting to the good part now.
Yeah, I'm quit.
Are you
in a hurry? No. Are we going somewhere? Get some more dough?
But was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with a man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. When they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, and those that were clean escape from them who live in the error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, and the same is brought into bondage. Now, the one common denominator, and this is so wild, and it shows us without the cross, in every single major ministry that we've investigated, there is so much sexual corruption at the top that it is beyond comprehension. It makes Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart look innocent. There's something that happens when they've gone the way of Cain, or they've gone the way of Balaam, that God gives them over to their own lusts. And it's just mind blowing. You know, we have this guy in Atlanta that taught the young women that their function was to sexually serve the elders. That was their ministry. And he's still preaching. He's still on the board of directors of Oral Roberts University. He's still on TBN. I mean, and they say, you know, he's got like 50,000 people in his church or something. And he says, and all these other people say, well, don't look at their lives, look at their fruit. And their fruit is the number of people that they've supposedly converted. That's, the scriptures say the opposite. Every time I read, I mean, but I'm so thankful for that because we can see ourselves. I'd be the same way if it wasn't for the community and the cross and the vow of poverty. I mean, there's nothing you can accuse me of that I'm not guilty of.
You know, that's again, that's that same thing about Jesus was unclean and had this. It's the same thing. What you said.
It's when I stop and think about what it is that we're about. I mean, I just get overwhelmed with thankfulness. Anyway, anybody have any response? Of the Hanukkah lamp. I'm going to try to come to the big group for Hanukkah. Are the kids going to... That'll be sort of like my
Christmas birth.
Coming out. No, my coming out. I'm coming out of the closet.
Are you going to the tree farm?
No.
You know, you mentioned Dietrich Bonhoeffer. My thought is that I think that if he came here, I think that...
You'd probably go away in disgust.
I think we would be ashamed.
No, we wouldn't. I think if Christ himself walked through the door, we wouldn't have to be ashamed. Individually, we may have to be ashamed, but individually, we better be ashamed.
Yeah, I think so.
Of course, except for Ronnie, the good Levite.
Take it where you find it.
Any thoughts, Cameron?
Well, I better understand why I don't fit into the world.
You don't. You heard too much.
I mean, I don't feel bad about that.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not involved.
You think I'm not? I'm the oddest of the odd. No, that we had this talk with every time that Ronnie goes and visits with his parents or his brothers and sisters, he gets on this stick that he wants to be like a normal person, like Eddie. So that has a truck that he owes more than it's worth on, but he gets to drive it around, and he has a job that he hates. But he's living large. And he's got a boat that he hasn't paid for either. But I mean, it's like we're failures. Get it through your head. We're all failures. We don't fit out there. Amen? Especially Bojo.
Good freaking news.
I haven't picked on Bojo once this morning. I forgot about him. I forgot about him.
That's that thing about observing the experiment changes the experiment.
Yeah. All righty, take it, big guy. Who in here is not going besides me to the farm, Christmas farm?
I'm going to be home all day getting there with
them. Okay.
We are having lunch, right? Are we having lunch here?
We're not having lunch here.
Okay. That's... Fine with me. I'm going to
Matt. So, Cameron may want to stay for a while. Can he stay in the back house? Okay. Take it, big guy.